thank you for choosing to listen to this talk by Pastor Eddie, designed to develop you. We appreciate your interest in your personal development. This talk can help you in many ways, so pay close attention to the underlying principles in this message. As you listen, think about how you can use this message as part of your development process for you and your circle of influence. The first commitment that Pastor Eddie has is to grow you, because if he can grow you, he can grow your circle of influence. Now let's join Pastor Eddie as he teaches this all-important topic.
We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you, O Lord. Lord, we have cause to rejoice today because we have cause to rejoice in the joy of our salvation. We thank you. We thank you for the joy of our salvation. We thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the congregation of the believer. The kingdom you have planted us in and given us a covering. We thank you because you've given us a sense of identity. We thank you because you have unified us in your word. We thank you because of your blood that flows through us. The blood of forgiveness. The blood of healing. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We give you all the glory tonight. We thank you for your children who have come to hear your word tonight. Lord, they've not come to hear any man, but there's something in their spirit that yearns for your word. There's something in their spirit that cries out to you. Lord, they have come to hear your word because they want to know you. Father, I ask that you fill our hearts tonight. Draw us closer to you tonight. We ask that you empower us tonight. In the area of our weaknesses, I ask that you strengthen us tonight. That you fill our hunger, quench our thirst. Give us the answers to life in your world. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please help me welcome your neighbor and help me appreciate Inspire. Amen. Come on, church. Help me appreciate Inspire to take their seats. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This month is our month of renewal. And I want us to take it very seriously. Tonight I want to teach you on what I have titled the foundation for renewal. Every time in the Bible, if you look at the Bible, every time God says he is about to visit or do something in the life of someone, he places a mandate upon them to prepare themselves. So we're talking about renewal tonight. And when we say renewal, what should you be looking out for? What should you be doing as a Christian? What should you be doing as a believer? How do you prepare yourself for renewal? What foundation should you lay this month? What are the things that should be expected of you in such a way that God himself, God will come and do what he wants to do in renewing you? Does God go everywhere? No, I don't think so. If you read through the Bible, when God tells people, I'm coming to do this in the life of my people, Moses tells them, prepare yourself in fast. Say, you fast. He said, consecrate yourself because today and tomorrow, God is coming. So how do you prepare yourself for this renewal? What do you need to be conscious of to ensure that when the angel of renewal comes out to your postcode, they don't turn back? So I want to just share those things with you tonight, and I want you to receive them. Amen? Praise the Lord. The foundation for renewal. You know, the first thing is we look at our life as Christians. And I don't know how much you do this, but this month I want to challenge you to do it more. I want you to recall your experience as a Christian. How did you get born again? How many times do you really share that testimony, how you got born again? You see, when I got born again, up till now, I was so happy. I was so excited, and I'm still excited. I got born again July 4th, 1988, 6 p.m. All right? So much so that I just threw my birth certificate away. I threw my birth cert away. I said, this is the day. This is the day. This is my new birthday now. This is my birthday now. And since then up till now, right? 88, how many, 20-something years am I, right? How many years? 88? 26 years. 26 years ago, I stopped celebrating my natural birthday. 26 years ago. You know, that is, and I share my life before Christ and my life after Christ. One of the things you must pay attention to for renewal is sharing your story. How many times do you share your story in a month with those around you? These are the things that, you know, over and above the excitement and the, hey, I'm so good to see you. Wow, church was great. Hey, we must come back to the reason why we do what we do. To prepare for renewal, you must learn to share your story. And I think we should be doing that. I don't know. They don't have the Lord list. Maybe we should be taking salvation testimonies the same way we take. You know, when we talk about testimonies, we share. Oh, I got the job. I got the house. I got the. You know, I have this. I have that. I have this. But we never say, wow, this same time 26 years ago, I do. That's why I swapped my birthday. I will never miss it. So maybe we should do that. Share your story with someone. Amen. Share your story with someone. Recall, Paul, right, Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if you read through the Pauline letters, right, you see Apostle Paul was constantly sharing his story. Apostle Paul was constantly sharing his story. What is your story? You share the story of how you got saved. These are the ways that God can use you. You share your story about how you got saved. Now, I'm not saying that you see someone say, Brother Femi, how are you? And I want to tell you that, you see, 1988, it is like, no. But it should be so much in your heart. Some people have not shared how they got born again with anybody in the past 5 years. No. Some people have not. In fact, some people don't even know that it's important for you to share with others how you got saved. How did you get saved, Pastor Femi?
It's a long story.
You were that bad, eh? He says it's a long story. You see, now you see, I like that. You see, it says it's a long story. Someone needs to hear that long story. Amen. We look for God in the big things. But God is in your story. God is in your story. We have been told, we have been conditioned to think that it is the fascinating and attractive thing on life, the things that make us special and that gives us position, that are the things that we want to hear about in the church and boast faith. That's not true. That's not true. Don't you know that God is in your story? The transformation and transition from darkness to light, that's an awesome story that the Holy Ghost is ready to use, but you will never share. You will never share. Share your story. Share your story to both Christians and non-Christians. I love sharing my story. Learn to share your story with others. Amen. What happens when you share your story? When you share your story, you are. You try this. You share the story of how you got saved, where you were before, and how you are now, and what made the difference. When you share the story. You share the story of the process it took you to get up from the seat and take an altar call. You will be amazed at the amount of anointing that you hit you right there sharing that story. I was sharing my how I got saved one day with someone in my office, you know, And I felt a very heavy anointing upon me. And I was shivering. I was having goose pimples all running all over my body. Because I was sharing my story. Why are you laughing? Goosebumps. It's goose pimples. I had goosebumps all over my body. You can imagine goose pimples all over my face. Are you listening? Before I was distracted by the orator. You try it. Please. These are the tools of our empowerment. You know, you don't have to be called to kneel down and anoint you with oil and say, from today, you are evangelist, you are a prophet, No. That's why the body is so handicapped today. We're all waiting for the oil. There's no greater oil than the oil of transition from darkness to light. There's no greater oil. All that thing is man-made, designed to keep you small, so you keep looking up for the rest of your life. We need to turn that thing upside down. Are you listening? Many of you have such beautiful stories. And I can tell you, many of you have such beautiful stories that people hear your story, they'll fall under the anointing. But you'll never find out now, will you? Because you never share the story. There's so much packed. And many of you have gone through, you know, like my friend would say, hell and high waters. Right? That you have so much loaded in your few years of existence that when you share that under the power of the Holy Spirit, it will bring instant conviction to someone. Or at least, it will boost the faith of somebody else. So the very first thing we need to do as to prepare for our renewal is to share your story. When you share your story, every time you share it, you ignite, it's like you spark something spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm 61 verse 8 says, "So will I sing praise unto your name forever, that I may perform my vows." He said, I will sing praise to your name forever. I would constantly say what you have done for me. I will constantly say, you know something? One of my secret weapons, right, is the fact that deep down in my heart, one-on-one, me and my image, myself and my mirror, deep down in my heart, I know that without God, I am nothing. Seriously. You know, there are some people that say, you read Pastor Bola's article about me. How many of you read her article about, okay. And I said that here last time, didn't I say that? So I told you that I'm always afraid. I think I will. You know, I wish I can say it's only golf. But the truth is not really only golf. It's in being a pastor. It's in anything I do. You understand? I carry that inadequacy. And that inadequacy makes me trust God for everything. I have not one single confidence in myself. But you see, that lack of confidence comes the strength of God. So I've learned to depend on God for everything, for the things that people take for granted, get excited about, step forward to. Mine have to, every single thing I do has to be divine enablement, because I do not have one single confidence in myself as a person. You wanna go for the same exam? You can be saying, "Wow, I'm ready. I will never feel ready. I can never say I'm ready. I don't have what it takes to say I'm ready for. I have never. It's just not in me. I don't have what it takes to say I'm ready for anything. But see, in that lack comes my strength in God. You understand? I know that there are some pretty smart people. I never consider myself smart as a person. If you ask for, well, those of you who think that you can do this one, I won't. You know why? I'm afraid I will come last. So there's just no. I'm like Asha. I remember that Asha's character. My goodness. Now, the only difference is that I won't say why I bother trying. But I will get up and do, but I will beat myself to continue. So the demand I place on myself is crazy. So what I take on are few and far between. Share your story. The world needs to hear your story. People around you, I will sing praise to your name. Singing praise to his name is not just, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I have a testimony. No. In everything, including your salvation. So, number one, recall your own Christian experience. Recall it. Recall it. Please, let it be your conversation. Throughout this month, let it be your conversation. Find a way. It doesn't matter. You can talk about this and talk about that. Talk about Tony Blair. Yeah? Okay, talk about David Cameron. Talk about UKIP. Talk about that. Those of you, talk about Arsenal. But in that whole talk, make sure you end. Find a way of slotting it in. Find a way. You see, the gentleman who led me to Christ, who took me to church, right? I so much admire that gentleman. He's in London now. He's a lawyer in the city. I was 5 years my junior. What I learned from that young man's life is this. If you tell him, oh, that's a red car. Oh, yeah, it's a red car. Wow, red. Red, just red is the blood of Jesus. He just has everything. You just cannot have a normal conversation with GD. You tell him, wow, I'm so thirsty. You want to drink water? Oh, you drink water. Wow, water. Water baptism. Wow. One day he came to visit me. And we were going for a walk from our parents' home to his, you know, it was in the evening. And I kept looking at this guy. I thought, wow, this boy is so clever. Everything he does, he brings back to scripture. I was admiring him, and he's so good with the word. The word just flows out of him, and it flows out of him with so much love. I kept going to his house every day. I would come back from work, right? He was waiting for his British passport then, so he can come to England. So he was loafing away. But I was going to work. I would come back. Don't tell you did that though. I would come back 5 o'clock, you know, and then go to his house. And just to go and hear, the word of God is attractive in the mouth of the believer. What is attractive in the mouth of the believer? You have no. That's why I'm saying. You are anointed, but you don't know it. That's my greatest problem. And then you will say, wow, man, I just have problem today. Say, problem? Really? Wow. You can do it. I remember David and Goliath. Oh, yeah. Everything he has here. He has a way of bringing the Christ, bringing the word, bringing the Bible into everything. You can do that. Look for opportunities to always say, wow, what you just reminded me when I was not a Christian. And then you drop it in there. Boom. Boom. Drop it in there. Recall your Christian experience. Renew your promises to God. Renew your promises to God. You see, when Elijah got to Mount Carmel, the war in Mount Carmel, the very first thing he did was he laid the altar. Many of us this month of renewal are going to go back and lay rearrange our altar. Many of you have made promises to God that you are not fulfilling. You made promises. You said you were going to fast once a week. That's out of the window. You said you were going to read your Bible. That's out of the window. You said you were going to make certain calls. That's out of the window. You said you were going to build certain relationships. That's out of the window. Renew your promises. Renew or not. It says that I may daily perform my vows. That I may daily perform my vows. You have made promises. Many of you have used promises to get things from God, but you made used vows to get things from God, but you have not fulfilled it. You must renew your promises. These are foundation for renewal. Renew your promises. The Bible says, never say before an angel it is an error. Angels don't understand error. When you say it, God, your word, because you carry the Spirit of God in you, your word is your bond. Whatever you said you were going to do, do it. Don't make empty promises. That's why the church of God is so weak. The world sees us as people who make empty promises. Don't say you are coming when you are going. Don't say you are going to come. The Bible says, let your yea be yea. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. The things you have promised the Lord, deliver on them. The things you have promised the Lord spiritually, deliver on them. The things you have promised the Lord materially, deliver on them. The things you have promised the Lord sacrificially, deliver on them. Let your yes be yes. Renew your promises and your covenants with God. Foundation for renewal. There's so much crookedness in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not for perfect saints. We are on our way to perfection, right? But Habba, you have done this wise. The behavior has overstayed its welcome. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. What have you promised? This is May. What did you promise you were going to do this year for the Lord? Have you done your part? Or do you think the Lord has forgotten? Or do you think, you know, it's with our words that we enter into covenants and an agreement. Through words, nations go to war. Through words, nations go to war. The words that come out from you, they are weighty and they are important. And God says he holds them, he puts them into a database. And those words will give them voice one day. And they hold you accountable for every word you spoke. And every careless utterance and empty promise you made. This month of renewal, let's go back and renew. Let's go back to the altar. So the first is what? Recall your own Christian experience. I want you to renew your promises to God. Number three, I want you to resolve to do your best in his service. I want you to resolve to do your best in God's service. I want you to resolve to do your best in God's service. For the kingdom of God, resolve to do your best. You see, let me use your church as an example. The reason why we have such a flat structure, it doesn't mean we don't have structure. We have structure. Oh yes, we have structure. In fact, when you look at this church, your first thought will be that it looks as if we are very fluid. But don't let that fluidity fool you. We are so structured. We are on borderline regimented. Seriously, but we don't look it. I ask him and ask those who work with me. Ask our leaders. Amen. When it comes to the things that has to do with me personally, we can afford that. Anything goes with me. It's all right. Anything goes with me, you know. But when it comes to the things of God and God's service, the standard. You can't work with me. Hey, that work is fight. It's fight. Ask our leaders. It's fight. The standard is like this. Even the standard is above me. Every time I have to do anything on account of his church and his people, my eyes are on the cross. My eyes are on the cross. What greater service is that? He did that. He did that. And after doing that, he said, greater works shall you do. So what kind of funny looking mediocre service will I lay on the altar and say, you deserve this? That's why. So promise to offer your best service. You know, when people come to me and say, Pastor, where do you want me to serve in the church? I say, where do you want to serve? Where do you want to serve? You decide where you want to serve. My job is quality control. But you decide where you want to serve. Yeah. My job is quality control. I'm a quality control manager. I don't decide where people serve. But when you decide to serve, my job is, I'm a resource manager. I'm not here. I'm a resource manager. I know what funny thing. I don't even need anointing to do that one. I'm educated enough to. You know, so I know what I want for myself, right? Humanly speaking, if I'm doing something for myself, the quality. So multiply that by infinity if it has to be for God. So my job is to make sure that we give God the best service. But you to your God, you give your best service. Give your best service. Please. No, don't give any excuse. Don't make excuses. Give your best service. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart. Let anybody call you. You know, I know it's very interesting. You know, this Christian race and this Christian calling by service, hey, they have called me all manner of names. If you and I join a local church, right? Oh, you will hate me. Oh, you will hate me. You won't like me. You won't like me. Because the determination, and you will think they are paying me. I'm telling you, the amount of sacrifice I will put into what I'm doing, that you will just hate me. Every time you stand next to me, you see you just hate me. That's how I love to serve. And I have references. See, you can go ask my former pastor. When I go for an interview, say, well, your reference. Yeah. In this country, the other day, somebody called me and said she wants to join the church. And she interviewed me for 40 minutes. On the phone. Yeah. After interviewing me, she refused to give me her name. I said, it's all right. It's okay. Interview me. Because it's your life, eh? It's your destiny. Yeah, it's true. You don't think so? Yeah. I want. People interview me in this church. You don't know. Oh, Pastor, why are we doing this? And I will start how you explain. Also, Pastor, why don't we have this? And I will explain. You can interview me. Before you join the church, interview me. Because I'm an employee. Called of God, sent by God. So I don't have a problem with that. No. It's okay. You can interview me. But when you join the church, why are you laughing? When you join the church and you want to serve in the department, now we interview you. I'm telling you. So please, we don't serve. There's a way you serve God. When people are looking at you, see, there's a lady we do in our business team. She said something that blew my mind one day. She said something. She said, he said, I don't know. He said, these two people, referring to myself and the Pastor Bola. He said, I don't know why they are doing this. He said, but I know them. They are not crazy people. He said, people like this, referring to us. He said, looking at their background and what they have achieved in the past. He said, when you see them running, he said, don't ask questions. So she was saying, he said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it because they are doing it. They are running. And I'm running. He said, but when we get there, we ask them, why are we doing this? Amen. So, you should serve in such a way that when people see you serving, they will look at you and say, this person is not insane. Whatever you are doing, they join you. You understand? Whatever you are doing, we have used service to command promotion. We have used service, sacrificial service don't envy me. When it comes to me and my God, we know how to get on. We know how to get on. I'm telling you. We are in it. That is head, boom. Serve the Lord with all your heart. With all you and your children. You and your children. I still speak to parents who use their children as an example, as an excuse for not serving the Lord with all their heart. Like, we've not raised children ourselves. Hey, but it doesn't bother me too much. You know why it doesn't bother me? Because I know the reward that comes from it. So you are just saying, when you do that, you're just saying that, I don't have the capacity to draw this kind of reward from the Lord. That's okay. You see, but the job still gets done. Have you not noticed? Have you not noticed that in church we never put pressure on people to join departments? Because we pray the prayer here. We call this place David Center. Do you know the origin of that name? It's after the soldiers of David. He said one of them, David said he needed to drink water. One man grabbed the jawbone of a donkey and fought his way through a whole army to get water. I saw it in scripture in Israel. I said, that's my boys. Those are my boys. Lord, wherever they are, bring them. You see that kind of... By the time they dealt, when they came back from the war, I said, what's that? Yeah, it's blood. It's blood. Did you ask for water? So here's the water. David said, no, I can't drink this water. No, I can't. You risked your life to go and get... You went through the enemy line to the other side to get water. Hey, that's called to service. When you are serving like you are suicidal. You heard my story before. One day, we were going to church. Had my baby girl. Go and check my account in heaven. Got my baby girl. God saw my heart. Put the girl in. Where are we going to? We are not going to party. I wasn't going for an interview. I was going to a church. I wasn't even a pastor. Amazingness. Flung the baby out of the car. Out of the car seat. Baby was on the second floor. And I would slap the empty chair on the back seat. Back. And the car looked through the mirror. You see, luckily it was winter. And then we used to have this, you know, this padded thing there. Yeah, so she was in it. She was very comfortable. Flew her like a ball as she landed on it. She was here. And I went, jump down, bam, 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 one person was girl there. So I look at it, grabbed the film, to church. I was glad when they said, let us go. You can't, You create life at will when you live like that. What is all that? is all that. One day, we had 14, 15 youths in our home. One bathroom. Then, Christmas time, in our former church, I was not a pastor. They used to come all the way from London to come and hang out in our house in Gravesend. By 2 a.m., 3 a.m., we're still chatting. Maybe we'll go late to church tomorrow. After eating chicken in my house the night on Saturday night, you will not be late to church. On whose account? On whose account? The 15 of you came to spend the night, spend some time in my house. I spent the night in my house. You stepped out of the body, you ate, I fed you. Then, when it came to church, you said you got to church late. Because we were going to the same church. When I was done in the bathroom, all of them, they are all big boys and big girls now. All of them were out, I was ready. And I told them, if I get to church before you, this friendship is over. Till today, I don't know how they dressed up. I don't know how they do. I used to be crazy, man. But it's nice to be crazy for Jesus. How? We measure our service, our love for one another, the quality of what we are putting down on the altar. What are we talking about? We measure the quality of our friendship by the. What are we talking about? How did you say that you're talking about us? I'm talking about Chelsea. I'm talking about is that friendship? Then you go. You come to the party. Which party? Is this 21st? Is this 70th? That's conversation. That's conversation. What will we eat? What will we drink? How will we dance? How will we play? What will we wear? It's color coding. It's color coding. Where's your own? Is it pink? Yeah, it's pink. It's yellow. Is that talk? Souls are dying every day. People are committing suicide every day. And you are talking about, what are you wearing? Which? what are you bringing? Is it green shoe? Is it green shoe? Have you got? My cousin has one. I'll give you space. I'm not saying we shouldn't party. We used to have parties when I was growing up as a Christian. You know how we measure the strength of our party? How many umbrellas we bring along with us? That's how we measure how many unbelievable non-Christian we bring along to your party. You are coming to the party. You come with empty care and you are showing chest. How many unbelievers do you have in your car that came to you to the party? How many? How many? They're the one that we bring like four unbelievers and they're asking them, are you coming to church tomorrow? I say, yes, I'm coming to the. That person is the star among us. We say, four of them. How did you do it? I invited them. Really? How? It's only one I brought. And the guy will be so pumped. So now, four now. You guys are not doing evangelism now. Beautiful. And we all bend over backwards for one another. We share in common. Nobody cared what you drove. What you eat, nobody cares what you wear, who bought it for you. Nobody gives the monkeys. But what do we have in our generation? Hey, you come to the generation of hey, you buy a brand new car, you have to make sure you come last so that people can know that you drive it back. And then they hold the car like this, so the car gets like this. They say, is that Versace? Is that Gucci? Gucci. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So exert every effort to win someone to Christ. If you are not winning someone to Christ, you should be on your knees also praying, oh God, use me. Oh God, use me. Oh God, use me. Oh God, use me. Exact. This is the purpose of Christianity. Oh God, money you will have, jobs you will have. God, Christianity does not mean that God takes away from you. God adds to you. But that is not our focus. That's not our focus. That is not our focus. You will be wealthy, he promised that, beyond measure. But you do the works of the evangelist. Amen. He will bless you. He will increase you. He will prosper you. But my family, there is work to do. We are called to do the works of Christ. We are called to do the works of Christ. We are called to expand this kingdom. And we've not even started. You are the sickle of harvest. The anointing of God upon you. And you conscious of it. And you stretching yourself and being that great example that will bring conviction to those who are not saved and encouragement to those who are saved. So allow God to use you. Allow God to use you. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say you are called to be a pastor so you can preach the gospel. No. You and I, as brothers and sisters, we are called. That's the first and primary calling. You and I, we are called. And behind every call is an anointing of God upon you to preach the gospel to every creature. Gospel of salvation. Gospel of deliverance. Gospel of life. I have come that you may have life. And have it more abundantly. And every time we come together as a church family and we come to a service, we come to hear, we come to breathe in, we come to get excited, we get to get encouraged, and then we go out and continue the works. That is, you know something? It doesn't exempt us. It doesn't mean that, you know, some negative things won't happen to us. We take it on the chin. I'm going to trust the Lord our God. They say bad things happen to good people. God causes the rain to fall on both the righteous and the sinners. But there's no better joy than to have the joy of your salvation. Doing the will of your Father. There's no better joy. There's no better fulfillment. There's no. Think about it. Money is not the end of everything. Do you know how many wealthy people commit suicide every day? We're watching a program on TV the other day. You know, looking at houses in Chelsea that they were flipping like this because they couldn't maintain them. So there are broke people in Chelsea, you know. Yeah, there are broke people. There are broke people in Chelsea. Now the council takes over their houses. And then house refugees from Amidala in there. Amen. So you see people from Amidala sharing the same apartment with, Sir, this. Oof. He broke. There's nothing like Jesus. There's nothing like Jesus. Let even think about it. Just look at your community. Every time you come into a community, do you know the stability your community gives you? Do you know the stability? You don't know how balanced you are right now. I'm telling you. And do you know that there are some people right now that they don't even have that balance in their lives? You know, I got a call from someone. He said, oh, pastor, you know, I'm just thinking about this one. I want to do this, and this. So I don't know. I'm just too confused right now. So what do you think? It's not interesting. You have someone who thinks for you. Do you know that there are people who are confused even around you? They have no one to call. And that weight gets so much on their mind, they resort to drugs. Oh, do you know that there are Christians who are on drugs? I'm telling you, we have work to do. If you are comfortable today and you have something to thank God for, I want you to flip that coin round. There's someone that you need to reach out to who needs the kind of life you are living right now. There are people who will die just to have the life you have right now. I'm telling you. There are people who will die just to have the kind of friends you have, the community you belong to. The one that you look at and don't take for granted that you just will, but there are people who can actually, and that's the beauty of church community. So we have work to do. And the work will not come from outside. The workers will not come from outside. Kingdom workers will not come from outside. We are already in the kingdom. Let's roll our sleeves. Let's get to work. Let's, first of all, lay this foundation and allow God to renew us. Renew our strength. Renew us emotionally. Heal us. Renew us spiritually. Renew us financially in every area so we feel whole to do the works that God has called us to do. Rise to your feet and let us pray. I want to just commit yourself to God's hands. You know, you are very, very impressive. Please stop the movement. Just pay attention. You know, can we all bow our heads for prayers? I need to just look at your life for a second. Just think about your life. Think about your life for a second. Think about all the good things that God has done for you. Just spend a minute and think about it. Think about all the testimonies you have. You know, think about all the testimonies you have shared over the years. Think about all the good things you are grateful for. Think about the things you have. Think about the family you have. Think about your spouse. Think about where you live, your job, your car. Just think about the life, the quality of life. Think about your community. So you see, my friend, there's a reason why God has blessed you with so much. He has blessed you with so much so you can be free to do the works of the ministry, the works of the kingdom. The works of the evangelist. That's your calling. That's your calling. He's giving you testimonies. You've been through tough times. He's turned those tough times around. You are still standing today. You're still standing. So he's giving you something to share. He's giving you something to be happy about. He's giving you something as a reference point so you can do the works of the ministry, the works of the evangelist, the works of the kingdom. I want you to just present yourself to God this hour and say, Lord, thank you for calling me. See, there's no greater calling than this. There's no greater calling than this. I want you to thank God and say, Lord, thank you for calling me. I take this moment out to just reflect on your hand upon me and thank you for calling me. First, for calling me out of darkness to be a Christian and calling me to yourself by giving me a sense of calling, a sense of call to preach the gospel to all creatures. To make disciples of all nations. Thank you for giving me a reference point. Thank you for giving me something to share. I want you to pray for yourself and pray for divine enablement. Divine enablement. Divine enablement. I want you to ask the Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon you. To share out of the abundance that God has placed in your heart. Your experiences are rich. Whether positive or negative, doesn't matter. God uses all of these materials to reach out to someone. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We bless you. But we stand in your courts today, Father. We ask, oh God, that you use us. Help us to be sensitive to your voice. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of those around us, especially their spiritual needs, Father. Use us as a sickle of harvest. to reach out in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for today's talk. Now just think, through Pastor Eddie's Building Your Future coaching and mentoring agency, you can experience these lessons monthly, packed with quotations, thought-provoking illustrations and stories, all usable in your personal development program. Visit us at www.byf.org.uk to join Building Your Future, which sets the leadership standard for ministry and marketplace. Pastor Eddie treasures the opportunity to be your personal mentor each month, all year long. Thank you again for joining us for this talk. We look forward to you joining Building Your Future as part of your personal growth program in becoming the best you can possibly be.